Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is it! The time has come!
Saturday night's all right for fighting.
The right crowd puts him down.
Get in the ring and go the distance with Fight Night with Gareth A. Davies.
You're better than that!
On TalkSport.
You're listening to the Fight Night podcast with me, Gareth Davies. Spencer Oliver is in the studio with me for this week's podcast. We got a theme running on this week's podcast, which is of these three cruiserweights that won world titles at heavyweight as well as cruiserweight world champions, Evander Holyfield, David Haye and Alexander Usyk, who would best the other and who is the best that stepped up? We had a continual theme all night with that. Spencer and I debated it as we got going in the show. Tyson Fury, I want to debate with you in this first half an hour, if you like. We've got Frank Warren, by the way, joining us in about 10 or 15 minutes. And we might put this to him as well. Tyson Fury at the press conference in Morecambe last week was talking about, the history of cruiserweights moving up to heavyweight.
Sure.
And I've heard some views from you on different platforms, and I think maybe interviews, maybe on air here. And I've got my own views on it as well. Obviously, Tyson Fury had the press conference on Wednesday. He discussed the WBO and IBF heavyweight champion Alexander Usyk, who's very respectful about him. They fight in Riyadh on May the 18th, of course, Saudi Arabia, for the undisputed title. And Fury described why we have weight divisions for a reason. And as he said, me being an encyclopedia on boxing, I've studied every heavyweight and cruiserweight that's ever lived. And of course, not many cruiserweights have fought at heavyweight because the division hasn't been there very long. But when the cruiserweights step up to the big boys, I'm quoting Tyson Fury here at the press conference, they usually get found wanting, usually. Even when the greatest cruiserweight who's ever lived, Evander Holyfield, his words, and we'll debate that in a minute, when he stepped up to the big boys in Big Daddy Riddick Bowe and Lennox Lewis, he was found wanting. I don't completely agree with that because I think he held his own. But what I wanted to ask you about, and also you, the viewer, the viewers, because we're live on the YouTube channel, and also the listeners tonight, is Evander Holyfield, David Haye, Alexander Usyk, the three most successful cruiserweights to step up to heavyweight and win world titles. How do they get on against each other at heavyweight? And how would Fury have got on against them? 0371722344. We want your views on this. How would Evander Holyfield, David Haye and Alexander Usyk, how do they get on against each other in their prime at heavyweight? And how does each one fare against Tyson Fury? Obviously, we're going to find out about one of them on May the 18th. Spencer, I want to throw it to you first of all. Please send us your questions. Send us your voice notes as well. 0371722344 to get the show rocking tonight. David Haye, Alexander Usyk, Evander Holyfield. First of all, let me throw some questions at you. Pick the number one out of those three, cruiserweight to heavyweight, in their prime.
In their prime.
At heavyweight.
At heavyweight. I speak as of right now, like for what they've achieved so far. But in their prime, I'm going Evander Holyfield. would have been my pick for those. Now, Evander Holyfield had dealt with the big men. He boxed Riddick Bowe in three of the most memorable heavyweight fights of
amazing
all time. He
amazing.
Won one of those fights as well, and the other two were absolute wars.
Humdingers,
and Riddick Bowe was a huge guy, so he showed that he could mix it, trade it. You know, not only was he a great combination puncher and he was light on his feet, but he was very, very tough
as
well.
You know, I've got to say as well,
Holyfield has to win that.
I was even there when a very old Evander Holyfield, live at the event, when he fought Nikolai Valuyev.
Yep.
And I thought he won that, by the way, even though he didn't get the decision.
No, he was robbed
in that. And
do
you know what? He was about 46 then.
Yeah.
And I remember being there and him saying, "Why are you still fighting, Vander?" He said, "Because my last child is going through university at the moment." He had about 20 children, I think, or maybe 11. And he was putting his last son through uni at the time. Mm. So let me throw these questions at you to get this algorithmic answer. So out of the three at heavyweight in their prime, you believe Holyfield is the number one of those three?
Holyfield number one, Alexander Usyk number two, David Haye number three.
Okay, so
David Haye was phenomenal at cruiserweight, but he when he moved up to heavyweight, I think his best days, really. I know the Valuyev win was a great one against the giant, the 7-foot giant, and that was a great win. But he fell short against Klitschko. You know, he beat John Ruiz as well, which was another good win. But really, David Haye's best performances were at cruiserweight. He was a phenomenal cruiserweight.
So, what would have happened, David Haye against Alexander Usyk at heavyweight in their prime?
At heavyweight, in their prime.
Those two at heavyweight.
Yeah, in their prime, I'd say that Alexander Usyk would have been difficult to beat. Alexander Usyk has proven that. I think he's much better at heavyweight than David Haye was. And so at heavyweight, I'm going to go Alexander Usyk would have beaten David Haye, definitely.
Right.
I mean, he's beat AJ twice. He beat Daniel Dubois, who's another big, young, strong guy. So he proved that he can deal with the power of the heavyweights and he controls the space, so he takes the power away from the fighters.
Haye was a knockout, the haymaker. What about Evander Holyfield and Alexander Usyk?
Wow, that's a great fight.
That is a
fantastic fight.
At heavyweight,
I'm going to go Evander Holyfield in his prime.
Work him over.
Would have outworked.
Drawn him into a war.
Because Evander Holyfield was a great combination puncher.
He was.
He was very good at closing the gap.
He wasn't just a brawler.
He knew how to close the gap. Now, Alexander Usyk's main strengths are he controls that space. So it makes his opponents work when they don't want to work. And so he tires them out and he takes over. Like Anthony Joshua has said, listen, up until that ninth round, when Joshua was completely in the fight, he said, "Do you know what lost me the fight? Usyk went up a gear. He went up a level." He said he had more levels in him. "I blew a gasket by 9, he said, "because I was going at my top level, and that was the difference." And that's what Usyk's good at. In that last quarter of a fight, he pulls away. Evander Holyfield had an incredible engine. He would go like that for 12 rounds. Man, anyone that doesn't really remember Evander Holyfield, or you go back and look at those Riddick Bowe fights, go back and look at the two fights that he had when he knocked out Mike Tyson. Have a look at them. Look at the fight when he beat Michael Mora. Evander Holyfield in his day, he was an all-time great.
So now we need to know what you think about David Haye and Evander Holyfield in a heavyweight fight.
Wow, it's a great fight. It's a great fight. Evander Holyfield again. I go for Evander Holyfield because I just think that he would have got David Haye. Yeah, he was explosive, very heavy-handed, and a great fighter. But Holyfield was special. Holyfield was special, and I just think that Holyfield would have weathered those early moments and he would have wore David Haye down for a late stoppage.
I agree in all three of those with you. I think Holyfield beats Usyk, Usyk beats Haye, and Holyfield beats Haye.
Yeah, definitely.
So now, then the last three questions on this. And the last one relates to May the 18th anyway.
Sure.
So we'll save that, Fury and Usyk. Tyson Fury, we nearly got it in 2013 twice.
Yeah.
What would have happened, David Haye against Tyson Fury in their prime?
Tyson Fury would have been too big, too long, too clever.
As Vladimir Klitschko proved.
Too clever. So David Haye was great when he was great at attacking. So David was great when a fighter come to him. He was a good counterpuncher, but he's very, very heavy-handed. Tyson Fury is great again. Tyson Fury is underestimated for his boxing IQ and how good he is. He's not just a big lump with big long arms who can grit it out and he can box on the back foot as well, but he's very smart, Tyson Fury. Look at the amount of feints that he does. He draws the opponent's lead. I believe that Tyson Fury would have feinted, drawn David Haye's lead. David would have looped one of those big looping right hands over, fell short of it, and Fury would have probably caught him.
Short answers now, Spence, because we've got to go to break very soon.
I thought
soon.
They were short.
No, they're not. Short answers now. Tyson Fury against Evander Holyfield.
Tyson Fury would have been too big and too long, maybe.
It's a really good fight, isn't it? It's a great fight because
Evander was great at wearing his opponents down and weathering storms and
taking could take his, a punch.
But he was great at taking the opponent into a dark place.
I'm going Fury on points.
I've just done the same.
I agree with you. Fury beats David Haye in their pomp at heavyweight. Finally, May the 18th, we're going to see Tyson Fury and Alexander Usyk. Yep. In 15 seconds before we go to break and we get a golf update, a Masters update, what happens on May the 18th? 15 seconds.
Tyson Fury wins on points. Too clever. He'll keep it long. Alexander Usyk is great at controlling space and keeping his opponent away. But for me, Tyson Fury, Usyk's meeting someone with another great boxing IQ, so size wins in this one. Size is so important. Fury wins.
I must have argued with the traffic all night on my way in because I've got no argument with you tonight because I'm agreeing with everything. Just after that, we were joined by Hall of Fame promoter Frank Warren to talk about Tyson Fury this week, those cruiserweights we were talking about, and also what lies in store on Monday at the 5x5. Yourself, Spencer Brown, Sugar Hill, John Fury, and particularly Tyson Fury, completely on point, absolutely focused. It was 40 days from Wednesday to the event on May the 18th, this unprecedented, undisputed heavyweight event in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. There feels like, I don't know, like with a cut eye, it refocused the team in many ways, even more so than before.
I don't know. Look, you know, contrary to all the rubbish that was being put out, you know, before when he got cut, he was training very, very hard for that fight and he was in great shape and he'd come to more or less at the end of his sparring when he got the cut. So he was on point as far as peaking's concerned, physical condition, and obviously the cut delayed the fight to the 18th. And he took a couple of weeks off, but he came back into training again, where he hasn't got to lose any weight. He's not fight. He's not training to make weight. He's on. He's actually could fight tomorrow with his weight. He's got a good weight at the moment. And the problem, if it is a problem, is at the moment that he doesn't peak too soon.
Yes, he was saying that, wasn't he?
He's jumping out of his skin. You only got to look at him. He looks in tremendous shape. You only got to look at his face facially, how cut he is, and. You know, and I've sort of been around him enough now to know when he's in a good place, and he's in a very good place. And if he continues to do what he's doing, I think you're going to see a vintage Tyson Fury on the 18th in Riyadh, without a doubt.
Do you think he's going to put it on Alexander Usyk and not allow Usyk to box his way into the match?
Tyson's changed his style so many times over the years. You go back to when he went to Germany, when he fought against Klitschko. You know, he went out there and boxed, jabbed his way through, and basically give Klitschko, a guy who's a very good boxer himself, he gave him a bit of a boxing lesson.
Well, he took his jab away and took the right hand away, didn't he, from Klitschko?
That's what he did. Yeah. And he's a very smart guy, and he goes out to the States and he goes and fights a guy who statistically is the hardest punching heavyweight in the last, you know, 40, 50 years, whatever it is. And in Deontay Wilder, and done him his own game.
Yeah, he's one of the.
So what will he do when he gets in there? You know, Usyk is going to be fit as a butcher's dog. He's been a heavyweight now for 4 years, so you know that he's comfortable now. He's settled into being a heavyweight, and he's a competitor. He's undefeated like Tyson, and you know he's not coming to just make up the numbers. So you're going to get a good fight, but I just believe that Tyson. When Tyson's at his best, you know, that is a problem for anybody. And I just feel that he's got although Usyk's got a very good boxing brain, I think Tyson has got, I think he's got more armoury and more in his armoury than Usyk has.
Yeah, that's the brilliant thing about this contest, Frank. When you get these contests of this magnitude, we got this undisputed fight with two unbelievable boxers that have got phenomenal IQs, and you look at that and you go, adaptability is key, and who can adapt to the situation can win the fight, and both of them guys actually can do that. And that's why I say it's not just about adaptability here, and size really does matter in this contest, because Fury, like Usyk, has never come up with someone of a boxing IQ like Tyson Fury, because very good at the feinting, controlling the space. He can take a guy into deep water, or he can box on the back foot, as you've already highlighted. But, you know, the size is going to be key here, and that's why I fancy Fury in this contest, because he is equally as good as, like, all right, Alexander Usyk's got a great boxing IQ, but Fury's very smart himself. It's a fascinating contest for all those reasons.
Well, it is, but, you know, size, I thought, would be one of the factors in the fight, in both fights against the fight that he had against AJ. But he dealt with it. He dealt with a guy who had a superior reach, Usyk, in AJ. He out-jabbed him, and he was out-jabbing him on the outside, and I thought he would be trying to get inside with him, but he was boxing well out on the outside. So, you know, he's capable of doing that, but I just think that Tyson... with the greatest respect to AJ, I think it, first of all, he's a winning fighter, and secondly, I think that I just feel that he feels that he can deal with Usyk. I mean, he studied him, he knows what he's got in front of him. It's not like he's going into the unknown. The both of them have probably studied each other to as much as you can preparing for a fight. But I just think Tyson knows what he has to do in this fight, and I think he's capable of sticking to plan A or B if needed, and I feel that he's got the better box, as I say, the better tools in the box to deal with him.
That was self-evident on Wednesday, talking to all of you, that diligence had been done in the background. Before you came on, Frank, Spencer and I were having a little debate about who of these three cruiserweights that moved up to heavyweight would you rate as the best in their prime out of these three: Evander Holyfield, David Haye, and Alexander Usyk. We did a round robin of who would beat who, each other, when they moved up to heavyweight. Who's your best out of those three?
Holyfield.
But we were the same. Then Usyk, then Haye, we were saying.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, you know, David Haye did what he had to do. Look, Usyk's having his... You know, this is a massive, massive test for him.
It is.
Because I think he's fighting the best heavyweight of his generation.
Mm.
Holyfield fought the best heavyweight of his generation. And, you know, I've got to be honest, there was a... You know, that first fight he had with...
Lewis, it was a draw. You and I are the same. We both thought he won, didn't we?
I don't think... You know, and even if there weren't nothing in it, that's a guy who's fighting... of his generation. Mm. And he, you know, and you look at even him when he went in with
Riddick Bowe,
with Mike Tyson, he was a phenomenal warrior, one of my favourite fighters.
Yeah.
And David did what he had to do, but he didn't fight anybody at that level at the time.
Sure.
What would Fury have done with Evander Holyfield in his prime then?
Been a great fight. I fancy Tyson because I just think Tyson's a phenomenally big guy.
We're all agreeing on everything.
We're all agreeing on all of it tonight. We've agreed on all of it.
And I think the thing is with Tyson, not only is he a phenomenal big guy, you know, he deceives people. You know, who would expect him when he gets in the ring to be as fast as he is? Switch hitter. You know, normally big guys like that, you look at some of the big sort of 6'9", 6'10", guys, they were lumbered a bit, and you know, they weren't fast than that. And Tyson moves around like a, you know, he's very agile.
Mm.
And I just feel that, you know, all these guys, at any generation, he would be there with them. In any generation, he'd be one of the best there, no doubt about it.
Frank, we're going to ask you about the 5x5 update. Obviously, a big press conference on Monday in London. Can we just ask you, first of all, about Anthony Yard putting out there he's a free agent? We've got Joshua Bwatsi in the studio later tonight. Now, Anthony's been with you, I think, his entire career from memory, and you've had a very close relationship with him, put him in world title fights. What's happened there?
I don't know. You know, I've got to be honest with you, I don't know. They he's put this statement out that he's been advised that his contract's at an end. And my position is, or Queensbury's position is, it isn't at an end. And that's where we are. And it's a bit frustrating because we did agree terms with Josh. I mean, in fact, he texted me last week. Out of the blue, I got a text off him asking me what's going on. And I just said to him, you know, we're still negotiating. And the next day that was put out by Anthony. And it's quite disappointing. And I'm going to say how it is now. I feel he's been badly, badly advised. Mm. But listen, so, you know, it's not the first time, and I'm sure it won't be the last.
Mm.
down the line, you know, people say, oh, that guy who advised me or told me this, it's not quite how it worked out. And all I want to do with him is really simple. I just want to, get something done. I was very, very fond of him as a person, as a boxer. I mean, I don't believe anybody has been, for somebody who only had, was it 11 or 12 amateur fights,
yep,
has been pushed and put into some good positions he's been put into.
Yeah.
And I'm very disappointed we're in this, in where we are. But look, it is what it is. I can't change it. The only one who can change it is himself when we get round a table. Or unfortunately, we're going to have to get it sorted out through other means, and the other means are just, you know, nobody wants to go down.
Well, it's just a ball's ache, isn't it? Because it involves lawyers. Frank, Monday, big press conference, 5x5. You're not going to spill the beans this late, but can we expect something massive? Obviously, Better Be Evan Bivol are headlining the card, but you against Eddie Hearn, 5 versus 5. Can we expect to be blown away on Monday?
Well, you are blown away from day one because, as you just said, you've got the unification fight for 4 belts on the line, topping the bill on the first of July, June in Riyadh. That in itself is a massive, massive event. And then obviously we got the rivalry which has gone on for quite a few decades between his dad and me, and you know, Warren, the Hearns. You know, match from Queensbury, whatever way you want to look at it, the big rivalry there. And we've both got some really exciting talent and good fighters in our respective camps. And the weights have been picked now, and we've got our fighters all ready to go. And we'll be announcing that on Monday. And I can assure you, there's some really, really good quality 50-50 events there, but 50-50 fights, I should say. They're brilliant. It's a brilliant.
Well, I think
concept.
They are all events in. It's like 6 events by
they're
the sound.
They're all headliners
of it.
They're on
all
their
headliners.
Own. Yeah,
yeah, we're hearing it's just.
You know, and this, and I've got to be honest, this would not be happening because, one, you know, financially we couldn't do this on a big card like this. It wouldn't be happening unless it was part of the Riyadh season and His Excellency, his seller, his team, everybody getting behind it to make it happen. So we. You know, boxing's in a real renaissance period at the moment, and it's just in such a good place. And as I say, I'm really, really looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to Monday, and I am looking forward to the 1st of June because a lot's at stake. There's some serious bragging rights going to be.
There we go. The rivalry's coming to...
the voice changes there.
Keep your pipe and slippers on for now. We'll keep your ammo in there. Keep your powder dry for Monday, Lord Warren.
I told him that. I said, pipe and slippers, it's all off. It'll be off for all of you.
Up next was Eddie Hearn talking about his fight in Manchester on Saturday night and also his relationship with Frank Warren, which is cordial but competitive, and also his relationship with Ben Shalom, which isn't so cordial but is very, very competitive. Take a load of this. I caught up with the Matchroom promoter earlier this week in Manchester and we looked ahead to his 5 versus 5. Yep, 5 Queensbury, 5 Matchroom fighters, Frank Warren versus Eddie Hearn, and he teased a massive event.
You're going to look at it and you're going to go, wow, what a card. I mean, bearing in mind that the 5v5 sits below Bivol against Beterbiev, which is probably the best fight in boxing, right? This card is the best card I've ever seen incorporating that main event.
Why is that?
Because...
Go on, just tease us a little bit.
On the 5v5, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 complete 50-50 matchups, right? At the worst way you could argue a 60-40. And the main event is also a 50-50 matchup. So you will have 6 pure 50-50 fights. And you've got me and Frank. Wait till you see the promo, by the way, that we filmed. That is unbelievable. The best
is this
one.
The one that was filmed in Bulgaria?
Partly, okay. You know, it's filmed at multiple locations.
Okay.
And just brilliant. I mean, this format really works in boxing. You know, I won't say who, but there's another promoter in America that I've been talking to recently about doing something similar. The fans get behind
Oscar De La Hoya?
No, actually. But, you know, the fans...
Al Heyman?
The fans get behind it. And it's simple, isn't it?
Yeah.
My best be your best.
Well, but what I like about it is you're always going to be rivals. You'll always have a rivalry with Queensbury and Frank Warren and George Warren.
But there's jeopardy now because one of you is going to be a winner and one's going to be a loser. Or you might get a split draw, who knows.
We're desperate to win. And we want our fighters to win.
Yeah.
And the great thing about the 50-50 matchups, Gareth, are we can sit there and just love it. We can be jumping up and screaming and shouting and pushing each other out of the way. And we will. And we're so desperate for our boys to win. You know?
You're going to be sitting on the same side of the ring on the night if you decided all that. We might need security.
Maybe. I just, you know, I think the fighters, you know, so there has been changes to the lineup, but fighters flew in to film the promo. And there's a couple of fighters on the card that aren't quite used to this level of promo and hospitality. Just because they're, you know, fringe world title level and European title level, and so
you make him a guess now.
No, but
I don't want to know them. I want to wait
till
Monday.
But how good for them, Gareth? You know, these fighters are going, I can't believe this. This is unbelievable.
Just talk to me momentarily. For obviously, we've got the undisputed title, heavyweight title coming up before that. We know that Anthony Joshua moves into the mix at some point, depending on whether they fight twice or not, and Anthony's going to stay busy. There are lots of rumours about September and Anthony Joshua. I'm not going to ask you about that right now, but it's out there that it's a possibility. It feels to me like we're in an unprecedented time in boxing. Is it unprecedented for you?
Yes, because I think we're probably forgetting what we've had in the last 4 months and what we've got coming in the next 2 months. So we have had Fury against Ngannou, the Day of Reckoning card, which was incredible. Joshua Ngannou, Fury Usyk, Bivol Beterbiev, and the 5v5. I mean, that is in the
And there's two other undisputed title fights in Japan and Vegas with Canelo and Inui in the meantime as well.
You know, we've got, you know, Bam against Estrada, we've got Taylor Catchall coming up here. We just signed Boots Ennis. You know, I mean, it's like the boxing world is buzzing, and the thing about boxing is when someone steps up and starts making big fights, others do too. So obviously the introduction to bigger time boxing in Saudi Arabia and the injection of enthusiasm from Turkey Al Sheikh is just making the boxing ecosystem stand
up. It's a catalyst for it all, isn't it?
People say about, oh, you know, the big fights happening in Saudi Arabia. Not all of them. But by the way, we're seeing them. And the fact we're seeing those fights elevates the sport globally. Forget where it's taking place. When someone's watching on TV, do you think they're going, oh, this is happening in, you know, they don't. They just want to see the fight. You wouldn't be seeing Fury Usyk. You wouldn't be seeing Bivol Beterbiev. We're seeing them like that.
So, I want to pick over the bones of that interview a minute. It was very good, Eddie, this week. That was just before the Zelfa Barrett and Jordan Gill press conference. Eddie had a lot of time there and he was very thoughtful, and we spoke off record about a lot of things, well, about Anthony Joshua, which will remain off record for now. But best fight in boxing at the moment, Bivol and Beterbiev?
Absolutely. I think they're two pound-for-pound stars. You know, you've got to look at that. Both undefeated. Stylistically, totally different. You know, one's unbelievably... His boxing IQ is incredible. In Bivol, we saw what he'd done to Canelo Alvarez and the way that he controlled that fight and kept the distance so well. And Beterbiev is the monster. So stylistically, it's a match made in heaven. Yes, definitely the best... For the boxing purist, it's the best fight out there right now, without a doubt.
And I'm really pleased that it's been elevated and it's been put in an eminent position on top of a card in Saudi Arabia that's going to garner a lot of information and a lot of attention, rather. But not only that, it's coming 2 weeks after the undisputed heavyweight title. So if that's controversial and there's been lots of chat and it's a split draw, then it's just going to suddenly lead into this avalanche after a week of that into another fight week. Can I just ask you, because I was out in Quebec and I watched Beterbiev live against Callum Smith working out there in January, I think it was, I'm kind of swayed to think he wins it, even though I think Bivol is such a beautiful boxer and so efficient and technical and does carry power himself and always fights within himself. How do you see the winner in that? I mean, I'm picking Beterbiev, I think.
Yeah, listen, I'm with you. I'm going one way then the other. He looked at Bivol in his performance against Canelo and you go, I've got to go with him. And then Beterbiev last time out just looked like a complete monster and you go, I can't see him getting beat. And for that reason only, I'm with you. I think the performance against Smith, I'm going to lean towards Beterbiev. I think he's got to start the favourite, but It's a tough one to call, man. It's a real 50-50, like the undercard's going to be as well. Saudi Arabia and the investment into boxing has just been such a good thing for boxing as a whole because of what we're getting, the fights that we are getting now as boxing fans. This is like a dream, man.
It's unbelievable. And as Eddie Hearn said, 50-50, maybe one 60-40 matchup in all. I'm kind of writing them down here. Light heavyweights, we've just discussed. Two heavyweight fights, another light heavyweight fight, a middleweight fight, and a featherweight fight. And I'm telling you now, on Monday, you're going to be blown away when all these matchups are announced. All the fighters are in town. But we'll be there. Of course we will. We're always there. But before we continue, and we get too excited, right now, let's talk about arguments between promoters. Because this week, again, I spoke to Eddie Hearn off the record about it, but he was very unhappy with the way that that Adam Azim was pulled out late from the purse bids with Dalton Smith. He's very unhappy this week about another fighter pulled out. Let's hear from Eddie Hearn. He's speaking about his relationship with Ben Shalom. It was on IFL TV.
Yeah, I'll sit down and talk with anyone, but I don't see what, you know, until you acknowledge that you're willing to take fights with our fighters, you're willing to allow your fighters to fight on DAZN and vice versa, like we are, and we've already stated that, there's nothing really to discuss. I mean, Frank has an open dialogue with Ben Shalom. I think Frank just feels like Ben's a porky pie teller. That's all. And I don't like the whole, you know, there's an agenda out against us. Oh, you know, this is the reason why. It's not. There's no agenda at all. There's an agenda from Sky and Boxer to try and freeze out any matchroom fighters from getting any airtime or any publicity. I mean, you saw it most recently with Chev Clark, where he comes on screen. They've just cut the camera shot because it's like, it's like a Matchroom alert, quick, down feed, quick. So, but the best way to describe it is there has been five fights, not discussed, ordered between Matchroom and Boxer. On five occasions, well, we're about to get it with Isaac Chamberlain, they have refused to either accept those fights. They've actually not even opened discussions around those fights.
So Eddie Hearn's most recent objection is the fact that that I think Boxer waited, what he told me anyway, was an hour and a half before the purse bids in Cardiff, and they had a representative going up there to make the purse bid for Isaac Chamberlain against Chev Clark. Obviously, you mentioned Chev there. Mm-hmm. And why don't they just tell them beforehand that they're pulling the guy out from the British title and that he's going to go ahead and fight Vidal Riley or whoever? But he's not even fighting Vidal Riley.
He's
right
boxing
now
for the European title. But so he got an offer for the European title. So he's moved on.
I forget the opponent right now. I think he's Polish, isn't he?
Yeah.
We'll come to that in a moment. But I think... What I'd like to see in this scenario, like I said, it's happened five times, is just a transparency of, I'm moving my boxer down the route I want to. And by the way, I don't think the broadcast the other day, because I was there when the ruckus started ringside with Isaac Chamberlain, Vidal Riley after Riley's fight, and Chev Clark came over. I think it was because it looked like there was going to be a big melee.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they pulled the broadcast, I think, or the screen, because I don't think they wanted to show a massive melee at ringside.
We were all moved out. I was there with the microphone for us,
and we were all moved out. Security came charging in. I don't think they blocked them out because it was Chev Clark who fights for Matchroom and on DAZN. But if looking from your perspective, Spencer, do you think Ben Shalom and Boxer should be more transparent about it, or is this just promoters playing with each other?
Listen, I think it's a little combination of both, if I'm totally honest. I think from Ben Shalom's point of view, I think he does need to be a little bit more transparent, as in don't wait till the final hour. If you're going to pull the fighter out for whatever reason, and I know for a couple of the occasions, like Adam Azim versus Dalton Smith, let's use that as an example.
Yeah.
They just felt that for Adam Azim, maybe that opportunity against another great fighter in Dalton Smith was too soon for Adam.
Completely,
you know,
agreed.
And so he'd done the right thing, but it's probably, problem is leaving it till the final hour is the big problem and the frustration from Matchroom side. So I can totally understand that. He said, listen, if you're gonna pull your kid out of the purse bids and get him to relinquish the title because you want to take a different route, that's fine, but you have to do it in a certain time spec. And I think that's the frustrations from Matchroom side. From Ben Shalom's side, he's saying, listen, I've got a duty of care for my fighters, the longevity of their careers, and this is the road that we want to take. So we'll do it on our terms, our times,
and our broadcast. That's
and
the
I totally
key here as well. By the
that
way,
as well.
It's about doing it on the broadcast channel that he wants on
Absolutely.
There. He doesn't want Adam Azim on Matchroom and DAZN and losing the sway. Like he doesn't want his other fighters. Like he didn't want Fraser Clark with Fabio Wardley on DAZN, and they got it on Sky in the end, and it worked for them.
Do you know,
so fair enough to them on that one.
Do you know what? That's a great example of saving a fighter's career in many,
but
many
also
respects.
Putting it on another platform, yeah, because they saved it for that platform.
Yeah, but
as
what
well.
It was that Fraser Clark going in against Marius Wack at the York Hall, it was burning hot in there that night, and he put in a below par performance over 10 rounds against a guy that he was expected to take out. But what it done was, with Fraser Clark, prepared him for that fight going in. In later on against Fabio Wardley, it prepared him because it made him recognise, actually, I'm not fit enough to do 12 rounds.
There is
I've
that.
Done so what I'm saying is, had he not done that 10 rounder, he would not have gone back to the drawing board, worked as hard as he did, and got that fight with Fabio Wardley. Had he got in with Wardley that on that night, he would have got stopped by Fabio Wardley because he physically wasn't ready.
Yeah, but I think there's a layered nuance here. I think that's right. It's about the timing for that stable that he's developing. And so if at all possible, you keep them in that on that highway, on that runway, because that's the way you're building them. If they want to flame in, do it that way, I think that's absolutely fine. And it did work for Fraser Clark in both those layers that we're talking
Absolutely. About. Listen, you understand the frustrations from Eddie Hearn, Matchroom side, because of these fights being pulled at the final hour. I get that, and I understand the frustrations on that. But from Ben Shalom's side of point of view, you know, he's all about the duty of care for his fighters and doing it on their terms on that platform. So I understand both.
Well, Ben Shalom joined TalkSport last week. Here's his message for Eddie Hearn.
I think he knows what he's doing because he's a smart guy and he's a boxing promoter himself. And when you've got in our position, he would do exactly the same thing because I hope he would. What I would look at is Jordan Thompson, who was slung in against Jai Oppertaia, and I don't like to throw stones, but what's that done for his career? You know, you can talk about giving fighters opportunities. He hadn't even fought at English title level yet, and I will not cash out, even though it might be beneficial for me from a financial point of view. Someone that's believed in me, someone that's been with me from debut, early on in the career, we're not going to cash them out for something that's not in their interest. Dalton Smith against Adam Azim, just like Wardley Clark was, will be one of the biggest fights in British boxing, and it will sell out an arena and possibly be pay-per-view, and they'll earn five or six times the amount they would earn in the next fight. And I think that's it. Sorry, what's the message to Eddie? Let's sit down, let's make some fights.
Absolutely, let's sit down, let's make some fights. And as he said there, Spencer, and you'd alluded to it when we were chatting earlier, or you actually said it in plain sight, they're doing the best deals possible for their fighters, their longevity and their pays. Simple as that.
That's simple as that.
Well, joining us on the show for half an hour then, his shows, GBM shows, are being shown live on the TalkSport YouTube channel, by the way, this Saturday night from Rotherham, in which Huey Fury fights on the card. His comeback after 3 years. Izzy was in the studio talking to us about the relationships that promoters have. Then Peter Fury joined us with Izzy in the studio. Of course, Peter Fury's son, Huey Fury, returns to action in Rotherham on the GBM card, which you can watch on TalkSport this weekend, live on the YouTube channel. Peter talked about the comeback of his son, Huey, back after 3 years out. Your last fight, Izzy, on the 3rd of the 3rd, 2012. Do you remember Verban Borisov?
Something like that, 3rd of the 3rd, long time ago. How many years is that? What?
2012, 12 years ago.
12 years ago.
Do you remember it? Do you remember
Of course
it?
I remember it, yeah.
Can you remember what you weighed in at?
15 stone 4.
And what are you now?
A few stone heavier. Can't give it too much weight, but not 15 4.
I think you look very, very well and very healthy. What did you do to Verban Borisov that night?
I just boxed his head off the jab, moved, but I
you
come
won
off.
On points, yeah.
Yeah, I remember it clearly. Seems
Hillsborough
like
Leisure Centre.
Undercard of Jamie McDonald, Josh Warrington, Matt Skelton, Sky Sports, when Frank Maloney had Sky Sports, that was. We're on one of the undercards there. Yeah, that was my last
I remember you because you were a cricketer as well from memory. Didn't you play cricket as well growing up?
Yes, I grew up playing cricket. I played at Sheffield School, played at Yorkshire Schools. They were tipping me to go all the way at
cricket. I remember, yeah, you were very talented. Yeah. And I remember, because you always had an amazing enthusiasm for boxing. If I can say it, even though you're a giant man, almost poppy-ish enthusiasm for boxing. Yeah. And I think that's translated into what you're doing now as a promoter, because your enthusiasm and your bubbling effervescence for it, I find really endearing.
Yeah, of course, sport's been a big part of my life, you know, cricket, football, boxing, and like you said, it's transcended into boxing promotion, and that's what's happened. But yeah, I started off as a cricketer, played for years. I didn't ever think I'd get into boxing. I went into a boxing gym when I was 19 years old just to keep fit, and the rest is history. Changed my life forever.
Quick bowler?
Opening batsman.
Opening batsman? Oh, I'd have given you some stick when I was running in.
Nah,
at
no,
you.
No, Gareth, nobody give me stick, Gareth.
No.
You don't want to be running into him,
mate. Oh, no, I know. I'm sorry. When you're on, you're on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, passion shines through in everything, in every walk of life. And you are passionate about, you know, about promoting. I know you got into managing first. That was the story. And then all of a sudden, you saw what was going on in the promoting world and thinking, listen, I can do that. Yeah. And I can do that bigger. And I can do that better than the rest of them. And Izzy, I've got to say, mate, I mean, I've been involved now with you for your last few fights and it just
cards.
I was for your last few cards, and I was blown away by your production, the way that you put a show together. It really has got a big show feel to it. You know, you leave no stone unturned. You put absolutely everything into it, and I think that is what's going to carry you through here, because of the passion that you've got, where you want everything to be perfect. You cut no corners, and like, it's not just the good fights that you put on, the 50-50 fights, but it's the production as well. You look at it and you go, I'm blown away, man. Like,
tell us what underpins that. How are you so aware of that? What's in your mind when you're putting
together? Always, a key thing for a promoter is look at it as a fan's perspective, a fighter's perspective. You've got to look at everything. They're the consumers, they're the buying person. So we look at it and think, as a fan, as a boxing fan, what do I want on shows? I want a good night. I want to go there. Remember, I want a good fight. I want to go to a fight not knowing which way it's going to go. And that transcends into what we're doing.
So 50-50 fights, good matchmaking, good little venues, well lit.
Yeah.
I've watched them myself. Yeah. The production values are very good.
Yeah, and a lot of the testament's got to go to the team we have. We have a really young, driven team. Mm. And they've got that vision. They're up to date with the social media and the content stuff, and that kind of shows on our shows, and that's why you see this fun factor feeling. But now what you see with GBN, we're starting to get quality fighters. We've signed a lot of good fighters. We're putting good fights on as well, and we're trying our best to put fights on where the home fighter's really got to turn up. If not, he gets beat.
We've presented at the Magna Centre. You've got an event there, but you and I together before, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
On the BBC, actually, I think it was. At the Magna Centre in Rotherham, next Saturday, the Coming of Age event. It's live on TalkSport as well, of course, on the YouTube channel. You can watch it and listen to it. I think Spencer's working on that as well.
Yes, I am. Yeah, yes. Commentating along with
Thompson
Adam
versus
Smith.
Georgiev, the vacant IBF European WBO global middleweight titles. You've got a long card. He's going to join us in the next section, Peter Fury. But you've got Huey Fury on there. His first fight for 3 years. How on earth did you get him?
Well, I don't know if a lot of people wouldn't know this. I've been a good friend of Pete for many years. When I was an amateur boxer in Sheffield, Pete used to actually bring Tyson Fury to Sheffield. Huey's older brother now don't box. So I've known him from 2003 and 4, Pete, when we first had a relationship. The thing happened, he's not been active for a while. He said he formed me up. A month ago, so I said, look, I've heard so much good stuff about you, Izzy. We want Huey on your card. Can we make it happen? I said, look, not a problem. It's a huge name to have. He's caused so much attention having him on. I'm looking forward to see what he's got left in the tank, and I think he's got plenty.
It's a museum, that venue as well, isn't it? Isn't that right, the Magna Centre?
Yeah, it's a science museum.
It's a science museum, so you go in, and it's an amazing place to host boxing, because it's a huge hall that you can dress really beautifully.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's certainly is. Listen, I've got to talk about another guy you've got on the top of the bill there, Shaquille Thompson. Now, people may not have heard this name. Listen, guys, Shaquille Thompson. This kid blew me away. He can fight. He's undefeated. Very heavy-handed. Reminds me a little bit of Tommy Hearns, where he's like very tall, very wiry. But there's a solid look about him, and he's heavy-handed. Like, this kid is one to watch. He's one for the future. He's fighting for the vacant IBF European and WBO global middleweight titles. But I mean, is he? This kid is going to be a star of the future. I'm sure.
He's a great signing for GBM. What really surprises me for him, he's a tall 6'3" middleweight, which is really tall for that, but he can actually fight so well on the inside, which you don't see many tall guys do.
That's what I said, Tommy Hearns.
They rely so much on the range and the jab, but this kid can actually stand and fight in the pockets. It excites me. He's got that sparkle in his eyes. He's not too much trash talking. He's a bit old school style. Tommy Hearns, like you said, he just gets on with it. But this kid's going to be extremely hard to beat in the middleweight division.
Not only next weekend, you've got another event you're announcing, London Calling at the York Hall on May the 24th. That's a Friday, is he? Tevin Farmer, the former world champion you've got on that card, as well as Tyzi Gallagher, a young battler that we are big fans of, female boxer, plus Razor Ali, who's got one of the most amazing stories in boxing. York Hall, you've been at before or not? With your promotion?
Of course, yeah. I mean. No.
But you're going to the history of the East End with this one.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell your viewers out there, I'm going to put my neck on the line. It's going to be York Hall like York Hall's never been done before.
Oh, okay.
I remember these comments, and I hope I put my neck on the line.
Can you tease us with anything that...
I'm never going to see York like it. And I know it's traditional. We don't want to lose that kind of cultural feel. We're in 2024. We're going to do it our way, GBM way. You're going to see an absolute spectacle.
1,500 in there banging.
Yeah. It's not just the crowd. It's a production, and the ideas we've got is mind-blowing. It's going to be at some point...
You won't be able to make the dressing rooms any bigger. That's the only thing, I'll tell you.
Never know. We've got a set of builders can turn it around in 24 hours. Listen, anything's possible.
A giant tent out the back, maybe.
I've been in them dressing rooms, the smallest dressing rooms you can ever believe, but that sort of creates the hunger in gets you going into the fights.
I just remember the interviews of fighters afterwards, where you go in and there's 10 of you trying to interview a boxer and you can't actually all get in the room.
When you're not top of the bill, mate, there's 10 of you in one of them little rooms.
Yeah.
Important thing about, you know, now that you're a promoter, we've been discussing this all night. We've had Eddie Hearn on tonight, Frank Warren on tonight, we've heard from Ben Shalom. What's your take in this kind of, well, the two takes? Hearn against Warren, for one, which we're all happy about because they're working together, but also the rows with Hearn and Ben Shalom at the moment, where Hearn is saying five times they've pulled out of the purse bid so late, it almost feels like they're doing it deliberately. What's your take on that?
Look, as a promoter, you've got a responsibility, obligation to look after your fighters. So you do what's best for your fighters. Now, let's bring it into Dalton Smith, Azeem Khan. That's the main one they've been having a bit back and forth on. I really do understand it from both sides. By the way, Dalton Smith's a great, great kid. I mean, he's a Sheffield lad. He come to watch me on my professional debut. I've got him, seen a picture of him, and he's somebody I think is great, and he's going to be a superstar for British boxing.
Against Mark Lewis. There we are, putting it out there.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. You know more than me about my record. And and I see where Ben's done it for Adam. He's thinking he's not right. I personally think they're at different stages. I think, you know, Dalton right now is up the pecking order, close to that world title. I reckon Adam Azeem still got a bit of experience, through a bit more tough fights out there, learn his craft a little bit. We're still a novice, still young. I see where promoters do it.
What about the late pullout? Should they be more transparent from the person? Should they be more transparent that they want to have that fighter on their platform, on the Sky Highway, and they want to have that boxer... You know, and they want to have control of their career. That's where it falls down for us.
Welcome to boxing, Gareth. Welcome. Yeah. Listen, I understand.
No, I'll just be playing devil's advocate.
I'm kind of adamant on, kind of making sure that we hold strong on is transparency. And I'm not saying, like, if that were me, I would not really want to leave it to last minute, because what then happens is back and forth, another promoter comes, does it to you last minute, but it has been done a lot. It's not the first. Ben Shalom's not the first person to do it. Other promoters have done it. But I personally wouldn't want to leave it to last hour. But I'm so strong on working with all promoters. I don't really hold any barriers to work with any promoter. And when you do stuff like that, they do hold a bit of resentment and a bit of bitterness towards each other, a bit of like, do we want to work with him again? And what happens then, Gareth? The fights don't happen.
Yeah, well,
who loses
exactly.
out? The consumers. Who loses out? The fighters. I'm not coming to this game for fighters to lose money or people not to get good fights. We're in here to put good fights on, good production, good entertainment, and hopefully we can stick that by GBM way.
That's the voice of Izzy Asif, head of GBM Promotions. His events are live on the YouTube channel on TalkSport. Every time there is one, there's one next Saturday night, and there's another one on May the 24th. You're listening to Fight Night on TalkSport. Izzy Asif is giggling away in the studio. He's not used to the heavy sounds that we do every Saturday night on Fight Night. Spencer Oliver's grinning away, playing with his phone. But on the phone with us now is the legendary trainer, I'm going to call him, father of Huey Fury, who's fighting, headlining against Konstantin Dobvyshenko live on TalkSport next Saturday night. Izzy is the one and only Peter Fury. Peter, good evening. How are you?
I'm good, Gareth. Thank you very much. Just relaxing at home.
As indeed you should be on a Saturday night. We do appreciate you joining us at this late hour. Can I just ask, first of all, I know that that Huey's had a few health issues and I think there was a blood disorder and different things. How is he, by the way? Obviously, he's back, but he's been out a long time. Has it been very tough for him?
Well, of course it is, because every fighter wants a fight, so he's had to take time out, iron out all of his problems, and he's got to the bottom of it. So he's back. He's back in. He's training well. He's had a good camp for this fight, and he's looking forward to getting back on.
Because I understand it was very debilitating physically, but Huey, like you, I mean, you're a very open man, but Huey never gives much away. He's a very quiet soul. But you probably know him in a different way, but certainly in terms of being with the media, he's very quiet. He goes about his work. He's a very respectful man. But was it hard emotionally being out of the ring for so long as well?
You know, it's always been like one issue after another. You know, he's had a bit of bad luck as well. So these things happen. And look, you know, if everything was a smooth ride, you know, nobody would have any problems. But the main thing is he's over them problems now and he's back. Mm. You know, so they're not, they haven't been very serious problems. He's got no health issues where he's been seriously ill or anything like this. Mm. He's just had, intolerance problems with food. He's had digestion problems and, you know, stuff like this. Mm. But, you know, rather than going into all the detail of it, the main thing is he's over him.
He's back.
Yeah, Peter, he has been out for 3 years, like you say. His last victory was over Christian Hammer, a KO in five rounds. I mean, what is the roadmap back for Huey now? Like you say, he's back to full health. You know, he's on next Saturday, which is a great fight for him to come back to. But what is the roadmap for him after he gets that victory, when he gets that victory? How quick do you want to push him?
We want to get him back every other month. We're looking to have four fights this year. So he's going to be busy. He's got one. He's got this one now on GBM, on Izzy's show. He's got one on May the 11th in Cardiff. And, you know, and we're going to get him busy. Mm. You know, we'll probably go back on the GBM show again if Izzy will have us. And, so it's all good. We're going to get Huey fight by fight. You know, the more he's sparring as well, he's you can see he's coming on. He's getting that natural rhythm back.
Well,
you know, like you said, he's been 3 years out the ring, so it's been hard for him to get back. But he's finally getting there, and the more he fights, the better he's going
to
be.
Well, is he stoked to have him on the show next week in Rotherham? What's the chance of getting him on the York Hall show as well? Then,
of course. Listen, Peter's not just a good friend. I think he's a great person to work with. Knows boxing, transplanted as they come, straight talking. And listen, why not? Peter knows. I've already spoke about this. And listen, the thing is, the growth GBM's going at, the possibility of Huey potentially fighting for the world title could happen on us. Anything's possible, you know, the way we're going and the way we're pushing our brand and pushing our promotion. It is, but yeah, let's get 20th done with. He's got a tough challenge, somebody who's going to really come to win, who's had a knockout recently in the UK, so it's a proper test for him for his first one back. But we're glad to have him back, and you know, it's great to have a name like that, because he's done good for promotions like us, he's done for our brand, he's got a lot of traction to the show. But Huey Fury will more than welcome to be on another GBM Sport show. It's not
you said there's a lot of big names coming up next weekend.
Yeah,
as
there's been huge interest interest. You know, your React Ports, your Fraser Clark, Billy Joe, Kell Brook, Savannah Marshall, obviously with Huey's friends, and the Hennessy's team coming. There's so much interest, the phone and the media interest has been massive on this. So, you know, we seem to be a relatively small kind of promotion in that sense. We've had interest as good as most platforms in the country, and that's kind of really pleasing as a promoter.
Peter, the heavyweight division is all talk at the moment. I mean, you know, obviously there's a lot of the heavyweights fighting over in Saudi Arabia. Is that a mix that you can get involved in with Huey?
I'll tell you what I'm interested in. You are getting in there and punching people's faces in. So let's get fight by fight.
And momentum.
I'll tell you what, I'll see the heavyweight division. There's a lot of talking. There's a lot of people quoting they're better than what they really are as well. Mm. So basically, let's get him back. Let's get him fighting. Let's get busy. And I will say, the GBM show has promoted Huey fantastic. As good as anywhere he's ever been. So, you know, it's a cracking show to be coming back on. And he is a personal friend of mine, so it makes it all the better for us.
Yeah, Peter, I was going to say that it's so important. This one here, April the 20th, up in Rotherham, that is really such an important fight for Huey Fury, isn't it? Because he's been out for so long. He's not got an easy test coming back either. He's got, you know, he's got a tough opponent, which is respect, because, you know, it could have been quite easy to put someone else in. But this is really an important fight for Huey Fury to see where he goes over the next 12 months or so.
Well, it is. And not only that, we've got a guy in front of him where he's going to fight back. He's coming to win. He's tough. And we're going to get the rounds as well. So it'll be good for you to get out under the lights, shake that ring rust off and enjoy the moment and get back in there and get the rounds. And, you know, we're looking to get this fight out of the way, all being well, injury free, and move on to the next one.
Peter,
but fight by fight. He's not going to start calling people out. He's not going to do anything. He's going to fight by fight. And then whoever's coming, whoever wants to take it with him, they can fight with him.
Peter, you're very knowledgeable on the history of boxing, and we've had a theme running in tonight's show. We asked Frank Warren about it earlier. Spencer and myself debated it. I'll ask Izzy in a minute. Three cruiserweights that have gone up to heavyweight and been very impressive: the great Evander Holyfield, David Haye, and
Alexander
Usyk. Who of those three, in their prime as heavyweights, not cruiserweights, is the best of the three in your view?
I think Usyk still got it to prove it somewhat. You can't. I think Evander Holyfield at heavyweight, you know, he's got the right name. He was the real deal for me. You know, this guy had some proper wars in there with some top heavyweights at the time. You know, and I'm not saying, you know, Usyk's up there as well, you know. So, but like I said, looking back at it, you know, Holyfield for me was tried and tested over and over again, and he fought the best in his division time and time again. So,
Everybody's agreed on that. Are you agreed on that, Izzy, as well? You're nodding
away.
He's a very special man, Holyfield, isn't he?
Great, great, great fighter. Proper warrior.
Unbelievable.
What does Huey do to Alexander Usyk, in your view, if they ever met in the ring?
What Huey's got to do is get fighting back. And, you know, it'd be wrong for me to say he's going to do this, going to do that, for a guy that's been out 3 years. And, you know, and everybody's very pessimistic. So I'm not going to say anything. Let Huey do the fighting rather than the talking. And that's what I want him to do.
Spencer, one question I've had a lot since we've announced Huey Fury on the card. I've had a lot of fans on social media say, has he got that fight in it? Has he still got that level where he was at a few years out? And all I said is, what I know of Peter Fury, whether it's his son, whether it's another fighter, if he's not ready, it'll tell him he's not ready. That's what gives me. I know what the man's about. I know what Peter's about. I know what he stands for. I know his integrity and his transparency. So if Huey Fury's not ready, he won't be in that ring. So I'm looking forward to him coming back. He's only 29. He's still got so much years of experience. He's been chucked in the deep end, Peter, if you don't mind me saying, as a young kind of guy. He's had a lot of tough fights.
11 years in the sport. Yeah. He's only 29.
He's younger. He's a baby.
Two
for
or three world title fights.
Listen, Pulev, Parker, Povetkin.
Yeah, look at that.
The biggest names in the sport.
Really, you know, big fights.
Absolutely.
Honest with you, I'm very excited about you, Ian. You know, and people say, oh, well, you will do because it's your son, but Izzy's hit it on the nail. I'm very matter of fact. Yeah. If you ain't got it, you ain't got it. Yeah. And if you've got it, well, one of them.
Well, we'll find really out on April the 20th, that's for sure.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
The one and only Josh Boazzi joined us. We were trying to come up with a ring sobriquet for him. I like The Boss, but we had others from you in the public who sent them in on the night. Joshua wants to fight Anthony Yard. There's some conflict at the moment, promotionally, by the sound of it. That's the fight we all want to see, but Joshua Boazzi says he wants the biggest fights. Here's what he told us. The one and only Mr. Joshua Boazzi. I can't remember, Josh, whether you've got a ring name.
No, I don't have one. I'm still waiting for one.
Well, so can we make one up tonight, please?
Yeah, let the people come in and come
all
up
right.
with one.
So 0371722334, please come up with a ring sobriquet, an alias, as it's called, for an AKA for Joshua Boazzi. We would like them in the next 15 minutes, and if he says yes, you have created history. How are you, sir, anyway?
Yeah, not bad, man, not bad.
How's things, Josh?
It's good, friends. Just the way, you know, keeping ready, taking over. Nothing crazy. As you guys know, I'm pretty much waiting to see what's happening next. But in the meantime, I'm making sure I'm training, so I'm all good.
You're in my home from home when I'm in America, San Francisco. We've talked about it many times. Look, and I've got to ask you, we know how well you performed against Dan Aziz. We'll get into that in a minute. What can you tell us? We were just talking to Frank Warren about Anthony Yard saying he's a free agent. Is that the fight you're having next or not?
It's the fight I'd like to have next. Is it the next fight? I'm not sure.
Genuinely, you don't know, Josh. You genuinely don't know, yeah?
Let me ask both of you, what did Warren say?
He said he was very disappointed that Anthony Yard said he was a free agent because he's been with him all his career. He thought he'd signed a deal with you to fight him. He said he mentioned your name, Josh. So he said he was just very surprised when he heard that Anthony Yard's a free agent. That is exactly what he said just now.
Basically said he wasn't a free agent, and the negotiations with yourself were very much underway. He thought the fight was happening, and then Anthony Yard has sort of dropped this bombshell. And this is a fight that the British public really wants.
What's your take?
My take is, I'll be honest here, if it's getting into the legals, we all know this is going to take longer than a couple of weeks to sort out. Time is going for me in terms of I want to keep active. Am I going to wait for the Yard fight? If it's proposed sooner rather than later, I'll take it. If not, I have to move on. It's not a matter of waiting. You know, when we look at it, I've got the number one slots. I saw an interview of Warren the other day. Even he was like, you look at it, Boazzi's ranked number one in most of the governing bodies. So, of course, it's a fight, like you said, Spence, that the public want, that I want. I want to get into these big fights so people are, these are two big guys coming together to fight. But it's not something that I'm going to pause my career and wait on. If he's got to sort things out legally, let that be done. But like I said, from my experience, I know stuff like that can take a while.
Let's hear from Anthony Yard. He posted this on Instagram this week.
I had to pull over my car for this one. So right now, my previous promotional contracts have expired. My team are doing their job back end to negotiate the best deal for me going forward. Once that's all sorted, me and you can start our negotiations for the fight. To put on the fight for the fans and ourselves, because I know we want to fight each other. It's exciting times.
It's so mystifying because we, you know, you were brilliant against Dan Aziz and we thought we were getting this fight next. It's just so odd.
It is, but it's business and there's legals involved. That's all I can say, Gareth. And like I said, if it says if the legals are as heavy as we think it is, then I'll be honest with you, it'll take a while. This isn't something that's flipped around quick, from my experience. So look, like what I wanna get straight is on my part and my team side, we okayed a lot of things. We agreed to a lot of things. We were good. We were straight to go. So if there's a reason why it isn't happening, my team can't be looked at. We can't be looked at. I boxed Dan in my last fight, got that out of the way. Of course, I'm waiting to fight for the title. But in the meantime, I'm going to get into big fights, exciting fights. And I accepted this fight. So if there's a reason why it doesn't happen, we can't be looked at.
Okay, so Artur Beterbiev and Dmitry Bivol fight for all the belts on June the 1st. We know that. There's press conference in London on Monday. Those guys around in the 5x5. You're number one with the WBC. There's Oleksandr Gvozdik. There's Callum Smith. There's Craig. You fought Craig Richards. Where are you going? Who are you going to fight next?
With what I'm learning with the sport of business, should you say something so that somebody else can go and sabotage it?
Well, who do you want to fight? Who do you want to fight if it's not Yard?
Well, it would be for the title, Gareth, but we know they're fighting in June. There's a potential rematch that's going to take us to the back end of the year. It's a long time to wait. So hence why I said, look, I want to keep active. I don't want to be in a random fight against anyone random. I want to get into a fight where they're like, oh, he could lose here. Let's see what happens. These are the fights that I want to get into. So, hence the Yard fight. We're both from London. It's an exciting fight. People have been talking about it for years. They've been making noise about it for years. So, it's like, I got my part of the deal straight. So, what's happening now? And if it doesn't happen, look, I will keep active.
But who? That's the thing.
Do you know what? What about Callum Smith? Callum Smith's a great fight for you. Like, if you're looking for names, like if the politics of the sport get in the way with the Anthony Yard fight right now, you're looking at the next best person for yourself, you know, while you're waiting for that world title to get that world title shot. Surely Callum Smith's a great name.
Smith's a great name. All the top five, Spence, they're all great names. Top five, top ten, they're all great names. And I think one thing to get straight is I haven't said no to fighting any of these guys. Dan was the last guy put in front of me for a final eliminator. I said, cool, we have it. We had it out. And then, like I said, the titles are tied up. So we're going to wait. But in the meantime, I do want these big fights. So we're not saying no to anyone. The Yard fight was the loudest. And we was like, okay, cool, we hear that. So we'll take that one. But of course, it hasn't. Till now, I can say it hasn't materialized. It might change in a week or so, but talking now to you guys, nothing's come out of it.
The thing is, my argument for you is, for too long, people have gone, why is Joshua fighting that guy? Why is he fighting that guy? We know what level you are now. Look how well you handled Dan Aziz. Look how well you handled Craig Richards. You are an elite-level fighter, in my view. You just need the contest. Right, we're going to have to go to break in a minute, but you are very popular, my sir. You are very popular because can you pick the best one out of these? Your ring sobriquet. We've got Joshua the Bear Boazzi, Joshua the Prophet Boazzi, Joshua Boom Boom Boazzi, or Josh the Boss Boazzi.
None, Gareth. We need more nicknames. Come on, people.
I'm gonna throw one in there. What about the Professor? Now you know where I'm going with that. You know where I'm going with that.
I know where you're going, Spence. That's Azuma Nelson, man. I can't take another.
Yeah, Azuma Nelson, the Ghanaian man. Come on. Surely you can get his blessing. Man.
I could do, but I'd rather come up with my own style.
You've been listening to the Fight Night podcast on TalkSport with me, Gareth A. Davis. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Don't forget to listen to our midweek shows, White and Jordan, with Spencer Oliver, myself, with Adi Oladipo on a Tuesday on TalkSport 2. It's all thick and fast, and there are two big events coming at the weekend. You've got GBM's event from Rotherham, live on the YouTube channel on TalkSport, but also live on TalkSport through the night on April the 20th. Is Devin Haney versus Ryan Garcia from New York for this big, big fight between two young stars on the American continent. We'll see you next.
deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.